Not only children. Do children need someone to be with them when they feel alone? Not only do children like to have someone next to them when they feel afraid, or when they feel really, I can't do this. I also like that. And I think every person that is old here or older will say that too. Yes, I also want someone to be with me when I'm afraid. And not only this, all of us needed that. Even Jesus needed that. Jesus, a good friend is so important. And he had a few. He had friends. Maybe you can think with me. He had three of them that were very special to him. He even called one of them my friend. And they lived in the town of Bethany. And one of them died. You know which ones I'm talking about? It's Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They were very close friends to Jesus, and he loved going to their house, stay at their place, felt at home. He had other friends, and that's kind of what put me onto the sermon this morning. In John 15, as we saw that last week, and I have it, all the text printed out on the outline, I hope you have in front of you, and we're just going to read them today. Jesus sat there, remember, and where is he going to? He's walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know he was afraid. And we know he needed their company. But he says to them, the disciples, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. So we'll come back to that later. That is an important little statement. And henceforth, from now on, I call you not my servants. He's always done that except once. He called them once in Luke 12, I believe, friends. But for the most part, he called them servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. As I was reading that verse this week, I was thinking, now what did Jesus mean? What makes a good friend? And what are good friends like? How were the disciples his friends? And how was Jesus their friend? And what can I learn about friends from Jesus himself? What does he teach me about friendship? And I ask myself this question too. Am I also Jesus' friend? He said to the disciples, you are my friends if you do my commandments. We're going to close with that question at the very end of the sermon. Am I his friend? Now I said already, Jesus also needed friends. In the next text, you notice that in Matthew 26, verse 37 and 38, it says, and he, Jesus, took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. He walked into the garden, and he let all the others sit down, and he took those three. They were his closest friends. You can have close friends and closer friends, and you can have a closest friend. He had one. Who do you think was Jesus' closest friend? That was John. The book written by John is out of the closest friend's heart. And Peter and James were also very close. And he took those three and he says this to them. And he began to be sorrowful and heavy, very heavy. And then says he to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death, even unto death. Tarry ye here and please watch with me. You notice that? He needed them. And this is strange to us. He is this great Jesus who can command the waves and he command the dead to rise. He command bread to multiply. And yet, as a human, he's just like us. Except not sin. But the same needs. Same desire to be with people. Especially when you feel you need them. He wanted them to be with him. He wanted them to support him. He wanted them at least be with him as he was there praying. And how disappointing when he finds them asleep. Twice he finds them asleep. That was hurtful for him. But most hurtful was it when Judas Iscariot really let him down. Now don't forget, Judas Iscariot was also Jesus' friend. He even said that when he comes back in the garden, "Friend, what comest thou to do here? You, my friend." Jesus knew what it was to have a friend let him down. No, not just let him down, that Peter did that. A friend who murdered him. Guess what Judas did? Matter of fact, when you read the text in Psalm 41 that predicts what Judas did to Jesus, and let me just find it to read it to you, you notice that it's really painful. Psalm 41 verse 9, it says this, "Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted." Jesus trusted Judas. How do I know? He gave him his wallet, the money bag. Judas was the inner circle. There were things that Judas heard no one else heard. I trusted him. He did eat of my bread. We shared time. And then he lifted up his heel against me. That's a picture of a horse that turns around and kicks you. That's the exact picture. He lifted up his heel against me. Judas kicked Jesus. Who befriended him. Now Jesus was also an amazing friend. You know, after the resurrection, he goes back to his disciples, isn't he? His friends failed him. They hurt him deeply. They let him down. But he shows himself a real friend. He was not just a fair weather friend, like, "I'll be your friend if you be my friend." Children, do we talk like that sometimes? "I'll be your friend if you be my friend. I'll be your friend if you're nice to me." That's not what Jesus was like. He's a friend at all times. And not only was Jesus a friend with his disciples, he also was very friendly and kind to others. In Matthew 11, we read the text, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a gluttonous man," that means a man who eats way too much, "and a wine bibber," that's a man who drinks way too much. But then it says, "a friend of publicans and sinners." They meant it as a mockery. But it is true. He was friends and friendly to the publicans and sinners. No, he did not agree with their lives. He did not approve of what they did. He did not share in their sins. He clearly gave the message in all what he did and said, "This is not right," but he was friendly and kind and reached out to them in genuine love. So those are some of the thoughts that came to my mind as I thought about Jesus and friend. And now this morning, we'll go back to the book of Proverbs, as I have preached from the book of Proverbs a couple of times already to you as young people. And I think we as all the one can just as much profit from that. But let's listen this morning to God's teaching on friends in the book of Proverbs. And before we look at that, This sermon, if you listen really well, children, that should convince you of one very important thing this morning. That you and I need a new heart. I don't want you to walk out of here this morning saying, I'm going to be like that. I am going to change. I'm going to start a new pace the way I'm a friend in my classroom and in my school and towards my friends. I am going to change today. Let me ask you, is it possible to change a lion into a lamb? No. No. So if you walk out of here saying, I am going to become a new friend, guarantee you're going to fail immediately. Now, go out of here this morning with a prayer. Lord Jesus, make me a friend like thou art. Breathe thy spirit in my heart, that I may be a friend as thy word tells me. Yeah, let that be the end of our review, of our listening to the words of God in Solomon, Proverbs. Now, what did I discover in the book of Proverbs? There are five things or six things about friends. The first one is seek and spend time with the right friends. And before I read the text on the outline, I want to read at least one other text from Proverbs that I didn't all quote because it's way too long to all write. But the book of Proverbs begins with this picture, and I will summarize it. Solomon says, my son, if sinners entice thee, when people beg you, invite you, suggest things to you that are wrong, and when they entice you, consent thou not. Don't listen to them. If they say, amen, come with us. Let's us. And then comes a whole idea. Let us what? Well, in this case, let us do some crime. And let's go do some stealing. And you can be part of our gang. We'll make you part of us. And we'll share the spoil with you. And we'll have great fun and we'll just do that and you're all a big part. Now, if you're lonely, that sounds good. If you've been cast out, that sounds really nice. If everybody's been ignoring you, that sounds wonderful. See, that's enticing. That is really tempting. Especially when everybody is not looking at you. And now here's a couple of people and a couple of ideas that say, yeah, well, you'll be part of us. And Solomon, please, son, don't listen. Don't let them entice you. Because look where this leads you. Now, that's exactly what Proverbs 13 verse 20 and Proverbs 22 and 24 tells us. Let's read those two scriptures from God here. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So whoever you walk with, whoever you choose to be with, whoever you choose to talk to or listen to, and that's a choice, mind you. You pick your friends, and your friends will do something to you. So God says, he that walketh with wise friends shall be a wise man. He that walketh with foolish friends shall be destroyed. Shall eventually be hurt. And then the next verse, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Not only with an angry man, but think of other words that you can put on the word angry. How about someone that is speaking evil? Someone that's cheeky. Someone that is deceitful. Someone who cheats. Someone who steals. Someone who is lazy. Someone who is mean and likes to tease other kids. They'll just look, if you walk with those, make no friendship with kids like that. Don't become their companions. Why? Because you're going to be like that. You become what they're like. Now, mind you, you can do that also on the internet. There are chat rooms, there are YouTubers, there are videos, and I don't know what you're all looking at, but I want you to ask yourself, are those the people I ought to be friends with? Or am I going to listen to people who's going to make me wise and pure and holy? After having spent time with these people, or time with this video, or time with this chat, or whatever, can I go on my knees and say, Lord, I thank thee for this gift of this moment? Can you? Well, if not, then you're not picking the right friends. And you're not doing what God is telling you. Don't make friendship. Don't become close. Don't be a companion. You don't even have to be a friend of them. Just to be a companion. That means you walk along with them. See, that's exactly how Psalm 1 verse 1 begins, right? It doesn't begin with spending lots of time. It says, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He begins to walk there. In the wrong direction. And the next thing you see, and now he stands still. He walks and then he stands in the way of sinners. And what's the next thing he does? He sits down. That's what God is warning us about. There's an old saying that I used to know or hear when I was younger. Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. Maybe your mom and dad have said it. Maybe you've heard it yourself already. That's true, but there's also another side to that proverb. Who you are and how you talk and how you act tells me who your friends are. I can see with whom you spend time. How can I see that? By the way you act. I can hear who you spend a lot of time with. How? By the way we talk, what we talk about how shallow, what about earthly we are. Here's a scripture that we all can take to heart. In Jeremiah chapter 2, the prophet is telling us what happens when we spend time with vain people or with vain company. God says, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they've gone far from me and have walked after vanity? Think of that statement, congregation. They're walking after vanity. Vain people, vain projects, vain occupations. And what happens? And are become vain. You become what you spend time with. You become what you pursue. That's why God warns us. Be careful who you spend time with. And therefore the best friend to spend time with is my Master, Jesus Christ. I've never regretted spending time with him. And spending time with Jesus has never led me in the wrong direction. Are we spending time with Jesus? Listening to him? Talking to him? Talking about him is fine too. With others. Because if you do that, guarantee, he'll join you in the conversation. The man to Emmaus talked about him. Jesus joined. Malachi 3 tells me, and those that feared the Lord often spoke with one another. God took notice. But if we talk about weather, about this latest, that thing, all the vain things. And Jesus will not join. So let's spend more time with Jesus. Let's look at the second thing the Bible tells us about friends. And that's really beautiful what we read in the second point. A friend, a real friend, has to be friendly, has to be thoughtful and sensitive. And there's three verses there that shows that. The first, Proverbs 18, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Friendship is a two-way street. It's just where you give and receive. If that wants to function, it needs to be that way. A friend must show himself friendly. It's the opposite of thinking, he first and then I. He first has to be nice, then I will be nice. No. That's the world's way. That's not God's way. That's not how Jesus was. Jesus is the opposite, isn't it? If God would have said to Adam and Eve, first you show repentance, and then I will pay you some attention. Didn't. Came in paradise. Because he is a friendly God to seek for his lost friends. They heard him. When he says, where are you? He really says, I want to see you. Now, that's what God did. That's a friend, isn't it? And that must be our example, that must be our motivation, that we may be like him. And that's why I told you this sermon is going to have to convince us more than ever that we need a new heart. Jesus says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome the evil with good. Don't reward evil for evil, but do the opposite. Think about Peter, how deeply he failed Jesus. And Jesus was the first to come back to Peter. Go tell my brethren and Peter. So ask yourself, dear friends, dear young children and older ones, am I kind? Am I a friendly person? Love is kind. That means friendly. Am I a person that is a giving person and putting others before me? Children, think about that. Am I like Jesus, who stepped over his hurt feelings to show friendship? He felt hurt, abused. Peter stabbed him in his back in his weakest moment. He looked behind him with incredible power of love in his eyes. Friendly. Nothing broke Peter's heart more than that look of his hurt master. Friendship. What a beautiful thing. Not just friendly to the old and needy and lonely. No, no. I have in mind the mind of Jesus, who loved the unlovable, who served the unthoughtful, who didn't snub those that snubbed him, went out of his way to reach them. What a beautiful Savior he is, isn't he? And so we look at the next verse that I found in this friend of being thoughtful, Proverbs 27. It almost makes you smile when you read that verse, isn't it? He that blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning. You can picture that. It shall be counted a curse to him. I'm sure that some of you don't want to be woken up with your friend's loud, bellowing voice in the early morning. Parents don't like that either. Your siblings don't like that. And it's amazing that the Bible says something like this. Just to help us to think about friendship. We can lose a good friend by being annoying and by saying hurtful things. I want you to think about the next verse. It's even stronger yet. Proverbs 26. As a madman who casteth firebrands. Think of firebrands like a firecracker. Arrows and death. And this madman is throwing that in a group of people. That is mad. That hurts when you throw a firecracker or an arrow and death in a group of people. Well, Jesus says, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? That means I'm just joking. Oh, I've heard kids say that. They say hurtful things to their friends. I'm just joking. I don't mean it. He understands, or she understands. God says, no, that's not what you do. Because even if your friend is smiling when you say hurtful things, he is still hurting. That's never what Jesus did. Did he ever say something to his disciples and say, oh, I was just joking. That was hurtful. No, that's not the way of God. So please, others might laugh about your joke, but the one who is joked or tricked feels pain even though he tries to be a brave face and just to pretend it doesn't hurt. It does. It does. I remember it still. I was a kid who was, for some reason, very teased. Had to do because I was a PK kid, they call that, right? Preacher's kid. And the school I went to, Those kids have teased me physically at times, hurt me as they beat me up, just for what? That I was what I was. I still feel it today in my mind. It didn't impact me as much as it impacted others who've been bullied and teased. And maybe some of them thought they were having fun with some young man. That's not what God says is friendship. Let's take that to heart together this morning. Matthew Henry says, he that sins in joking or jest must repent in earnest or it will be his ruin forever. So please, let your words be as water to a thirsty man. Let your words be as ointment to the paint. So let's sing together first before we look at the last three. And that's about Psalter 24. Who, O God, with thee abiding in thy house shall be thy guest. Who his feet to Zion turning in thy holy hill shall rest. 24, three verses. We'll sing all three.
Thank you.
Well, the third thing about a real friend we read in Proverbs is that he is a giving person instead of a taking person. And there's two verses there that we'll read together. The poor is hated and despised even of his own neighbor. But the rich has many friends. And in Proverbs 19 we find something similar. Wealth maketh many friends. For the poor is separated from his neighbor, and many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is friend to him that giveth gifts. I didn't know that your memory verse this week is from Job 29. I saw that this morning as we read and discussed the memory verse of this week at our breakfast table. I said, hey, David, that's the verse you're going to have to learn this week, and I'm going to speak about that in the sermon this morning. Job had many friends, and he was rich and well-to-do. You notice that in the chapter we read. Where were they all when he hit hard times? We don't read of any except the three that sat around him, not really being friendly. And so it is in life, children. You'll have many friends when you're well-to-do, when you give gifts. The prodigal son had many friends when his bag of money was full, but he had only pigs when the money was spent. And so, ask yourself this morning, am I a real friend? What is my mindset? If you're a real friend, your mindset is, how can I make his or her life better? It's not about you. It's about him or her. How can I make him or her feel valued? Special? That's friendship. Am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to give up my best? Am I putting my friend in front of me? There's no more beautiful example of that than what we hear Jesus saying when he's hanging on the cross. And, well, not hanging on the cross, we can picture him on the cross, and then we hear him say this: greater love has no man than this. A man lay down his life for his friends. Just picture him there. Lay down his life for his friends. That's a friend. So think about your classmates that are not your close friends. And are not your closest friends. Or maybe no friends at all in your mind. Are you friendly? Are you kind? And looking out to those who feel lonely, who feel different. Children, will you be like Jesus? Oh, you can't be in your own strength. Remember I said that? You need him for that. But will you stand up against the bully and stand next to the bullied? Will you stand up for the teased and stand next to the teased? Yeah, it might cost you your life. That's what Jesus did. It might cost you your comfort. It might even cost you your popularity. But does that matter? What matters is that we love our neighbor as ourselves and do honor God above all. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Well, he defended the women. He defended the children. He stood up for the humiliated. He took his place next to the shamed and stood against the shamers. That's a friend. He was giving instead of taking, and that's the glory of God, isn't it? Now look at the next phrase. A real friend is faithful even when we fail or fall. And nobody is perfect. We're all sinners. And so your friends are going to fail you someday and fall sometime. But look now what it says in Proverbs 17, a friend loveth at all times, not only in the good weather, but also in the bad weather. Not only when things are done well, but also when they fail you. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born, is made, as it were, for the time of adversity. And then, it's when those hard times come, that you will actually show whether you are a real friend. It's easy to be a friend when everything is going well, but when people fail you. And again in Proverbs 18, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus was faithful when all his disciples failed him badly. He's not ashamed to call them his friends or his brethren. John says he loved his own until the end, the utmost. What a friend he was. He's truly a brother born for times of difficulty. Are there examples of friends like that in the Bible? I think of Ruth to Naomi. That was a real friend. These two, they were together. Now hard times came for Naomi and for Ruth, but they clung together. I think of Jonathan and David. The Bible exalts them as a friends. And how beautiful was Jonathan a friend. And how beautiful was David a friend that after he died, Jonathan, he took his son Mephibosheth. Yeah, even though Jonathan never knew, David kept his covenant. Think of Jesus and his people. Now, a real friend will be honest in his love or in her love. And here are two verses again. In Proverbs 27, open rebuke is better than secret love. Yeah, if I openly speak about the wrong my friend is doing, it's better than that I'm secretly loving him and not telling him. And then he says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And then iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance or the face, the life of his friend. Your friend will slip, but imagine your friend is slipping into bad habits. Imagine you see a friend beginning to hang out with the wrong crowd. Imagine you see a friend stepping on dangerous ground as he begins to get involved, maybe in reading stuff or looking at stuff or listening to stuff. This is not good. This is bad stuff. Or he makes poor choices. Or maybe your friend has been saying or doing hurtful things. What do you do? What will a real friend do? Will a real friend just turn his blind eye, ignore it, pretend not to see it, or even walk away? No, Solomon says this. A real friend will tell you the truth. It might be painful. Maybe like a wound. He'll tell you the truth. He will not hide it from you. He will alert you, or he might even alert others about the dangers that you're doing to yourself and to your soul. That's love. Now that's what a real friend will do. Maybe you say after that, well, I thought you were my friend. You wouldn't say something like that or do something like that. And if your friend says it to you and says, look, friend, that's not what I really are. I am your real friend. That's why I'm warning you. That's why I'm criticizing you. That's why I'm telling you what you're doing is wrong and hurtful. Yeah, so let's become a community of caring friends. Yeah, we are to do that together. As consistent, we had a discussion on that this last week. That we as consistory also have to be a community of leaders that care to criticize, correct, alert each other when we see that we are slipping, missing, going the wrong direction. So as a church, And so you as young people. So you as children already. Huh? And look at that next verse, 27:19. Ointment and perfume, you know, salve or rejoice the heart. And so the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So when you say the right things, when you love saying the right things, you are like a perfume. Now lastly, how important is that a friend will be trustworthy with personal things. The word is confidentiality. It's a big word, but you have to learn to know what secrets to keep. Let's read these two verses. A froward or an evil man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And he that covereth transgression, a sin, seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now let me at least make one comment before I say something on these verses. There are some secrets you never are to keep secret. If someone is abusing you, or if you know somebody else is abusing someone else, if your friend is telling you he's done something really nasty to somebody else, you don't have to keep that secret. You find someone trustworthy to tell him that this is going on in your friend's life, or in your life. Oh, never fear. Those are not secrets to keep. But let's say your friend shares something that's really personal. Not wrong, not sinful, but personal. He shares his thoughts with you. Or he shares her fears with you. Or maybe they share a question that they struggle with. Or maybe they are having feelings or they're having struggles inside that they share with you as an unburdening. What do you do with that now? That's yours. That's not for anybody. That doesn't go on Facebook. That doesn't go on the ears of anybody else. That stays between you. That's a bosom friend. It's so beautiful to have those. Of course, I have a bosom friend in my wife, but I have a bosom friend in my brother. I can share with him too. So there are sometimes people that you can really share with. You never have to worry that it goes anywhere. That's just between you both. And if you don't have that in your wife or husband or parent, then may God give you some bosom friend like that. Now, let's close together with the question that I started with. Am I Jesus' friend? Or am I a friend like Jesus? And in verse 13 and 14 of John we read, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Am I Jesus' friend also? How would I know that? Jesus gives us a very plain test. If you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. How you honor my law, my commandments, identifies you as my friend. The way that you live, speak, think. No, not just outwardly. We can go outwardly easy. But Jesus is looking at the heart. What fires up my heart? What drives my motivation? What is my inner urge? What is my delight in sight? Is it to live according to God's commandments? If you love someone, you honor that person by doing what they like. Now, to a certain extent, of course, not sin. You never have to do any sin if somebody likes that. You say, no, I have to obey God above you. But things that they like, that are not sinful. When you give up what pleases you to do what pleases Jesus is one way by which you know you love Him. And you show love. When I grieve, when I see Jesus' commandments trampled, when I see people not honoring the law, and it grieves me, that's a sign of friendship. Then you are Jesus' friend. When you think about what delights Him, and you say, "Ah, Lord, that's all my desire. It's all what I want to be." Then you are His friend, He said. You all fail. Peter did. James did. John did. Everybody does. It's not about success. It's about motivation. What moves in your heart? That's how you know if you're Jesus' friend. And so let's conclude with listening to one more proverb, and then we'll turn to the great friend of publicans and sinners in prayer. In Proverbs 8, verse 17, Jesus says, "I love them that love me." Isn't that beautiful? If I love Him, He loved me first. That's bottom basic truth. We don't love God unless the love of God is poured in our hearts first. But when I may see the love in my heart, though not perfect, the Bible tells me here, "I love them that love me." That is so beautiful. And He also adds, "Those that seek me early shall find me." Amen. Let's pray together. O friend of publicans and sinners, friend of Peter, James and John, and all thy people, what a wonderful revelation, Lord, that thou, as the Lord, the Almighty, the enthroned one, yet says to thy people, "I call you not my servants, I call you my friends." And Lord, we have learned and heard much this morning. And what an impossible task it is to be a friend like thou art, to thy church, to thy people, but even to sinners that do not walk in following thee. Lord God, give us a new heart. Give us a new spirit. Give us a spirit of Jesus, that He may live and act and speak through us and in us. That we may be characterized, that we may be known, that we may be felt as friends and friendly in a Christ-like manner. And then we are all guilty, Lord, and we stand all here so far below that beautiful and glorious image of thyself. Ask for forgiveness for all those moments we've been unkind, all those times we laughed when others were teased, all those times we joked while we hurt others, for sticks and words can hurt, Lord, thou knowest. Thou hast known it thyself, and they call thee all kinds of names when they slander thee. And therefore we pray, dear God, forgive us. Wash and cleanse us, but also renew us. Help us to be friends to everyone in our church here, to show genuine friendliness, kindness to one another. We need thee for that every minute. So we come to thee. Thank thee, Lord, for this message. And hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.